Welcome to the Swedish Innovation Podcast, where we export Swedish unicorness.
No buzzwords, just real-life stories with Sweden's most innovative thinkers and doers. A podcast made by me, Sandra Bourbon.
And me, Sara Hermansson. Today, I will get the honor to interview Kristina Lundbäck. Kristina Lundbäck is the founder of Surf Cleaner. And she was a daughter of a very cool inventor, her dad, that invented a lot of different engineering solutions based on our human heart. So we will get more into that in the episode, hopefully. Kristina has a background within engineering, but thought that it was from time to time a bit boring, so she did other stuff as well, and finally decided to give Surf Cleaner a go for real. I'm very excited to talk more to Kristina about both her company Surf Cleaner, also her dad as an inventor and his inventions, and what tips she has for entrepreneurs out there. Let's get started. Hi, Kristina. Welcome to Swedish Innovation Podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks. And you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you. And I'm super excited about this podcast recording. We've been in touch a little bit before, and I've done some research on Surf Cleaner. And I'm very excited to get digging more into this company. I thought in my head on just the name and a bit on the product you had that, okay, this is probably like a surfer girl or surfer dude, and they've been out on the ocean doing a lot of different trips around the world, and they want to like collect plastic from the beaches. And then I did some research on you, the company, the product, everything, and it was like not the opposite, but I realized I was very wrong in my first bias thinking of the company. So I think we should go straight into, I mean, Surf Cleaner and the background, because I understand that you are the CEO and kind of the founder also, but your dad is also involved in this, and it has a heritage and legacy a long way back. So let's take us back to from where it started, and who is your dad and why is he involved in this?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I'm not a surf dude, but I grew up in the archipelago, so I was really close to the ocean every day, and I saw the amount of plastics washing in onto the shore. Even, yeah, when I was a small kid, I was like, this is not great. I mean, 50% was plastic. And yeah, that's a sad thing. And I was also like caring for the environment. But my father is the inventor of the company. And he was a clinical physiologist doing some research about the heart. Because his dad, my grandfather, Sune, he died of a sudden heart disease. So it was my father's passion to understand how does the heart really work. It's a perfect pump, and discovered how it worked without any cranks or pistons, and how is it possible. So he came up with the dynamic adaptive piston pump theory, and he started to develop artificial hearts and pumps based on his discovery. So then he got a question from IVL, actually, the Swedish Environmental Agency, and they asked, can your pump separate oil from water? And my father likes to invent, for sure. So he started to invent, and then he came up with Surf Cleaner. So it was actually founded in 1994. So it's been around for a while. Yeah, and his passion was to invent, for sure. And yeah, he sold a lot of devices, actually, to customers that was really... Yeah, development phase. And then, but he was an inventor. He has more than 100 patents.
100 That's cool. Patents, and, so. And I just need to go like stop there and try to make a picture and understand. Like, did he had a super big like mechanical workshop in your garage when you grew up? Or were he at a company where he did all these inventions together with others? Or like was it like kind of like having, I don't know, a Swedish version of Da Vinci in your garage growing up? Or who was he? I'm very curious.
Yeah, it was both, actually. We had it in our garage, and I helped out to build some surf cleaners for the Swedish Coast Guard in 2006. So I sat there and redid the engines. But he had a lot of companies before, so he had a big workshop in the city and doing a lot of inventions with other people. But he didn't focus on selling and wanted to develop the companies. So yeah, he sold off a couple of them and then they were put to rest because he wanted to invest or invent other things. And two other companies that he invented was Core Power Ocean. It's a wave converter. So converting energy from waves. So that's
I think I heard of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been around for a while though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been around since, I think it was 2012, because he was in the archipelago on our sort of dock that we have, looking at the waves, putting in the buoy and said, we should be able to invent something that takes care of the waves' energy in an efficient way. So that's what how he was thinking. Seeing a real problem and then thinking out a solution for it. And then it came, you have to have a really good gearbox to take care of this kind of energy because the waves are going back and forth and it's a lot of... That's why a lot of these energy companies that wanted to convert energy power from waves have gone bankrupt because it's a difficult environment to work with. It's a lot of forces and you have to really think about what you're doing. But he invented the gearbox and then Core Power Ocean was founded. And together with Patrick Meller, who's the CEO, he's also like a co-founder of the company. He's been there doing this journey. And then a spin-off company called Cascade Drives that uses the gearbox to replace hydraulics. So he was really into the environmental things from the beginning. And I've grew
so it sounds like it's it's very cool, and it sounds like three big offsprings then. So it's both Surf Cleaner that you work with today, but also Core Power Ocean and this Gearbox. What was that company called again?
Cascade Drives.
So it sounds like both Core Power Ocean and Cascade Drive needs their own episodes, I think, to
We'll have a follow up with them. But for me, it was. I've seen all these inventions parallel to my other careers that I've made. But then my father asked me in 2016, can you come and help me? Because I'm going to have a presentation for IVL China for Surf Cleaner. And I was like, sure, I can do that. And then I saw the interest in this invention and the fantastic product this could be. So I stopped to work at my well-paid sales manager job. Or biomechanics, and then I went to started with Surf Cleaner with my father. But it was a cool couple of years. But then he sadly got cancer and passed away in 2017. I mean that's sad, but that's life. But then I had a choice: either I go back to some sort of engineering job, or I can just try to restart Surf Cleaner and help the other companies to grow. Mm. And I did that.
Yeah. And what was it in what type of state? Because you said it sounds like your father is also the typical engineer inventor that really enjoys technical stuff and perhaps never also is ready with a product. And it sounded like he needed some type of, I don't know, business typical person to tell him, this is good enough, let's go, and be a bit, bold and
yeah, but you
sell
can't
it.
Do that. You couldn't do that to my father because he was really, he was so brilliant, but also really mind strong. It's like, we want to do this, I want to invent. So it was actually one of the things that made that Surf Cleaner didn't lift off because I did some investigations after he passed away, and then I hired Mikael Andersson, who is the CEO of the company today. And we were making some investigations. Okay, why didn't it take off? So we interviewed actually Midrock because Midrock were helping Surf Cleaner out. And they say that it's basically the inventor himself because he said to customers when we had a customer call or meeting, don't buy it now. I will invent it much better. It will separate much, much better in 2 years. Of course they didn't buy. So it was fantastic, but then it was really hard to sell. And he liked to do other things. So that's why he jumped on with Core Power Ocean and so on. But I saw this invention, and timing is really important because now people care about the environment. But back then in 94 and beginning of the 2000s, nobody really cared. But now they see that you need to do something. So that's why I think the timing is really important for innovations as well.
Definitely. And I think with all great innovators and also artists and so on, I mean, some are ahead of their time and their inventions or art or thinking doesn't fly during their lifetime. But I just wish now, when they're not alive anymore, that they can really see how they still made such a big impact on our today living. I think we have several examples, and it sounds like your dad is one of them. He was definitely ahead of his time, but I'm very happy that you cared about the legacy and brought it forward, because it sounds like Surf Cleaner wasn't really a multi-million company when you took over. Where was it?
Let's say it was idle. So I joined actually Sting, the incubator. It was a really good help for us because I was alone, my father had passed away, and it was how I'm going to do this. So then I got in contact with Mikael Andersson. He was looking for new challenges. He's been a CEO for 8 companies before, so he knows the drill. And I told him, I was really honest, saying, we don't have any money in the company. I'm not sure about the drawings, if they're accurate or not, and we have to update the software. It's been 15 years development lacking. So, but he's like, okay, let's do it. So we tried and backtrack, and then we found out some old invoices, and we contacted these customers, and they still had the Surf Cleaner. One of them was Preem. We found them in the invoices, so we called them up. So like, yeah, it's we have a Surf Cleaner, it's working. We had it since 2003, it still works. Like, what?
Wow.
So that's a good part for us, is that we had a good base. We know that the technology works, because that's something that's a challenge for new companies, especially when if they want to get some funding. Everybody wants to see it working, but it's a difficult phase. But we knew that it worked, and we actually got an order pretty soon after we have restarted the company from a refinery in Sicily. We wanted to take care of their emissions, so then it was a good start for us.
That sounds so cool. It sounds like kind of, in one way, a gold mine legacy for people who are into like starting companies, business, and developing stuff. Like, here you have like the perfect products that apparently can go running for 14 years. And I guess, I mean, Surf Cleaner didn't have a service department that came and fixed those products every year.
Nope.
I'm super impressed.
Nobody called. Because if they don't have any problems, they probably don't call. But that's something, when you build a business, of course, you have to have these customer contacts. But my father had other things on his mind. So
I think
focus
cool.
on that. And, but they are...
No, and then you also said it was his name, Mikael, right?
Yes.
That is the CEO. So why didn't you choose to become the CEO? I mean, it sounds natural. You take over, you become the CEO, do you develop the company? Why did you, I say, give it away to him?
Yeah, it was a difficult choice, because I'm quite like my father. I want to be sort of in control of everything. But something that I've learned is that you have to let things go. If you hire someone that's better than you in certain areas, you have to be the bigger person to say, okay, yeah, you're better at this. You have done 8 CEO jobs before. You know how to do this. So it wasn't easy for me to just let go of that. But then, yeah, I really trusted him. And I also sort of, because it was early in the beginning, we didn't have any money to give out. So, yeah, I gave him a couple of shares as well, because I believe that you should share. Otherwise, yeah, they don't invest in the company. They have the same passion as I do. So, yeah, we firmly believe that to hire someone that's better than you. So that's my journey all the way, because I was then, he was the CEO, and then I was head of marketing and sales. And it's a small company, you have to do everything. Going into the oil pits, and you have to do a lot of things. But then, we have recruited people that are better than ourselves, basically. So I think that's the way to go. Otherwise, I would be the same as my father, not letting go and try to do all the things myself, but you can't.
Hmm.
But I'm the chairman of the board, and also the, I don't know what the English word for it, fondbärare in Swedish, like the galleon figure.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, the ambassador and the one going in for. Yeah.
So we actually share that, and I think that's really cool. It's quite unique as well, because yeah, some things he's front of, and I'm in front of other things. So
I think it's really cool. And we need to go into also you as a person. So due to growing up with your father, was it obvious for you to become an engineer, or what was your way forward in everything?
I don't have a straightforward journey, like doing from A to B. I've been testing other things, doing it in my way. I mean, I studied engineering and do a lot of those things, but then after a while I was quite bored with it. So I've been an instructor all my life, trying to lead some classes and fitness and whatever. So I just took a break. And then I went to a gym and I worked there for a while as an instructor. And then I got a question, can you be the head of the reception? I said, sure, I've never done that, but I'll do it. And I worked my way up to things, to earn sort of knowledge and then jump onto the next thing. And I was suddenly the head of sales. It was a big gym. It was 3,000 square meters. And then head of fitness. So then I worked on this and I like it because I like to jump. If I don't know anything, I like to jump. I don't need to be sure that I can everything or know anything before I take the jump. And then suddenly I was headhunted by someone that's came into the gym and sold equipment for the gym. I was headhunted to that. It was a medical company selling medtech stuff. So physical exercise and to hospitals, ergospirometry, lung function devices. So then I came on that and built my way up, and then I studied physiology for a couple of years to know what I was talking about. So I'd like to jump.
Sounds cool. And in one way, even though you walked your own way, I can see the connections. Like, okay, your dad studied the heart and then became an inventor in technical products. Mm-hmm. And you, went on eventually selling physiology products and studying physiology to understand that. Mm-hmm. It's not so far away, even though it came from totally different directions. And then finally you decided to develop Surf Cleaner as a company. And where are you today? I don't think it's only you and Mikael now, right?
No, we're growing. We actually hired a person yesterday, a new one, a software engineer. So now we are 14 people.
Fun. And the products and sales, is that going better than when you took over the company?
Yeah, we didn't have any sales at all, and the product was really old. So that's why another lucky shot that we found out that Johan Ingvast, our CTO, came on board. I mean, he knows everything. He's like my father in knowledge-wise, because he knows fluent all of these departments that you need to know. You need to know how the flows are going into the machine. You have to know mechanics stuff. You have to know how the wired electricity. So he basically redesigned the product, make it up to 2020 instead of 15 years old. So, it's like we've restarted the company from nothing to what it is now, because sales are going really well. And now we have a big sales team, because that's why we took in some money last year to be able to grow. Because it's difficult when you're a small company and then start to grow. You need to focus on different things, become another company, because you have to sell, you have to have service, and you have to install it, and you also have to have different kind of possibilities. Are you going to do direct sales or through distribution, like we're doing as well? Then you have to have a network with that. So it's that's one of the proudest moments I have. I see the companies growing by itself. It doesn't need me basically day to day. It's like an organism by itself now. And that's really cool to see it when everybody's doing the job and having fun. And it's, I almost have to pinch myself sometimes to see what's happened with the company.
Yeah, and I guess what you said previously that, you were a bit afraid going in your dad's footsteps, controlling everything and not being able to make it grow. Then I think you should be super proud, because it feels like that was a big part of the accomplishments as well, to make it alive without controlling all the details. Yeah. And
trust maybe other people. Trust their knowledge, because you don't know everything best by yourself. You need to have people that help you. And that's the biggest sort of challenge for me in the beginning, was just that. Trust other people, that they know what they're doing, and let go. It's like a Frozen song, let go. But
it's a good song, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to go into the actual invention and the product as well. So for me, that looked a bit on it. And I also saw you were on a fair yesterday for... what do you call it? Yeah,
wastewater treatment.
Yeah, exactly, wastewater treatment stuff that you could demonstrate it on a fair. So the product is, I guess, pretty small, and it looks like, I don't know, a vacuum cleaner for the ocean. Or how would you describe it?
Yeah, when you look at it, when it flow, it has three floating devices, and it almost looks like a black hole floating on the surface. But the funny part is that the technology is brand new. You have to see it to understand it. That's why we are on the fairs and we're lending out the products to customers so they can try it. Because what we do is that we have a small propeller inside of the machine, and the machine floats by itself, and then you start to make an negative pressure. So you're pulling down the water as a barrier or carrier for floating pollutions. So basically everything that floats is something that we can attract. And inside the machine, we use simple things like gravity. What's floating on the water surface will float up in surf cleaner as well, in the container, inside it. It's like the human heart with different compartments. So we slower the velocity, and then the separation occurs, and the clean water will pass through the propeller in the bottom. So then the surf cleaner will know, okay, I'm full. I will reverse the flow of the propeller, so creating a positive pressure instead. So cooling in water from underneath, and then it could push out the pollutants inside a bag or a container or whatever it is. So it's like a three solutions in one, basically, floating on the water surface. And we have different sizes. We have the small one, the portable one that can take a purified 1 cubic meter of oil per hour. And that's quite a lot for this little machine, and it also consumes about 6 to 20 watts. So that's so you can run it on solar power or a battery.
Mm, so, cool.
Yeah, and then we have the larger version of that. We call it like the Big Bertha. It's industrial application where you can put it in the refineries and the steel mills. Because that has a capacity of 8,000 liters per hour. So basically it's a half swimming pool of pure oil per hour. That you can, basically you can say it's between 0.1 to 1% of water content in the oil afterwards. That means you can reuse it, because we really believe in the circular economy. So you can push it back to the refinery, or you can disregard the oil and burn it and use it as a resource. And then we have the wastewater treatment application. That was the new news things for this fair that we went to this week. You can take care of floating sludge, because that's a big problem when it comes to paper mills, even. When you create paper, you get a lot of fiber and sludge and bacteria you want to remove in your own wastewater treatment plants. And that's also something that's the big ones, the wastewater treatment plants need to take care of that, because it smells and it's bad bacteria, and you can reuse it as a resource if you want to. So we can dewater it pretty much, and then they can dry it and use it as a fertilizer, or burn it, or maybe produce some biogas.
Okay, and I really like the thinking here. So, I mean, it sounds like your product helps, I mean, both the ocean itself, but also industries to become a lot more circular. We had a few episodes previously regarding circular economies. I really like to continue on this track. And I know in those episodes, we talk a lot about how waste is not waste. It's just resources in the wrong place, and you kind of need to see it that way. Is that also what your customers can do then? That, I mean, instead of thinking of things like pollutions and waste, they can use your product to, I don't know, get money or energy or something out of their pollutions? Or what's in it for your customers to buy your product?
I think it's starting to get more to the circular economy now, because you see all of the diesel and oil prices going up, and people see it's a resource. You have to take care of it. You have to be careful with it. Before it was maybe you get rid of a problem because you had some oil on the water surface and get rid of it because it looks bad. But now they get rid of it because you need to do it, otherwise the planet is killing itself, or we are killing the planet, and you can use it as a resource to make it greener. So that's a big plus for our customers, because now some of these companies that collect all the waste from, let's say, Rangsells, for instance, collecting from industries, they, with the transport, they need to have less water in the content, because otherwise you're moving trucks with mostly water, and that's a waste of energy and time. And so that's something that we notice, that people are really thinking about that. How do you transport things, and how can we make it more efficient? So I think this is the only beginning, and that's the fun part with surfing, is that we have so many verticals or applications. First we thought about, yeah, it was oil mostly, for refineries and oil harbors. But now we have the mining industry. We want to take care of the wastewater in the mines so it doesn't go into the groundwater. And you have steel mills and paper mills, and all of them want to take responsibility before it ends up into the rivers or the public wastewater treatment plants. Because once the waste is out going into the ocean, it's really difficult to take care of. So that's why we focus on upstream applications. Because otherwise it's going to be, it's really a hassle. Just see what they're going through to the ocean cleanup. It takes a lot of effort and it's really difficult. So try to take care of it as soon as possible.
But your product then is mainly used, as I see it, in like big, pools or other facilities in the industries to clean up their wastewater before it goes back to, I mean, the big ecosystem in the world. But could you eventually also use your, big Berthas out in the ocean to clean up the ocean that we know is very polluted today already? Or is it a different type of environment out there?
I think it's a different thing, because then you have to make it quite big and you have to have support boats. But we believe in collaboration. For instance, we have the ocean cleanup and they are really good at in rivers and ocean to take care of it. But sometimes they come across with oil or minor particles. That's something that might we help them out with. So collaboration is the key, because I think that our surf clinic couldn't take care of all the plastic in the world right now. Because then we have to, that's something that we're thinking about ahead, to develop it maybe to go to the plastic waste industry. But it's quite difficult to take care of the ocean because it's so big. But we like to collaborate with people. It's something, even when you store oil in old mines and caverns, you can use bacteria to eat the oil. But then you have to have less oil, because if it's too thick layer, bacteria can't handle it. I mean, they get full and tired of it. So you can take the surf cleaner first, and then you collaborate with a company that have these micro materials. So we believe in collaboration in these kind of things.
Yeah, and it sounds like then like these different companies become an ecosystem to help out their own ecosystem. I mean, you do one part, the bacteria from the bacteria company do another part, and then it sounds like your product is like the best when it comes to separating oil and pollutions in water. But when we talk about the general plastic waste in ocean, there are other solutions like just filter that is more effective in another way. So I guess we need to see all the different steps separately then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And in harbors, that's something we can discuss, because then harbors have a mix of problems. They have big plastic things, but they also have oil and they have other contaminants in there. So that's something that we can collaborate as well. Because if it's the sort of a calm water, then we can help out. So that's something that we're planning to do, some actions and looking to harbors and see what we can do there with the machines that we got now. But then when it comes to the ocean, it's difficult for our small organization anyway. So we like to help out, but we can't do it ourselves at the moment.
No, I see. And then, I mean, you said you worked a lot with like refineries and separating oil from water means, I guess, you have like oil companies as customers. Isn't that a bit, backwards? Like, it feels like you're a super saving the planet, environmental friendly company. And then you have the, big black enemies as customers supporting you to grow. Or how do you feel yourself about it?
It's a complicated question, because no one would be happier than I if we just could say we don't need oil anymore. We can use other energy sources or use other sort of cellulose to make plastic materials. But for the moment, we can't. So this is a question that we've debated a long time inside the company. What are we going to do? But I believe if a company, let's say it's a big oil company, if they want to make a better impact, if they want to remove their gases coming out from the refinery and refine and take responsibility, why should we say, well, you weren't green before, so go away now? I mean, we should try to help the industry to become better. And I know that a lot of oil companies are now investing in ocean power from wave conversion and different kind of solutions there, and wind power and so on. So I like the development. We shouldn't be saying we shouldn't help you, because then we make the oil good again. But I think we should treat oil as a resource that we shouldn't use it ahead. But for now, we still need it. Say for vacuum pumps for insulin or whatever it could be. So we need to use it as a responsible resource.
Mm. But in the future, I guess there is no or very few humans on this world today that does not have a dependency on oil.
Yeah.
I think if you look on the whole chain, I mean, how do your food get to your refrigerator? Mm. Or, I mean, some people say, well, I have an electric car. Yeah, sure. But there's still probably some components in there that was produced using oil. And you probably have other products in your house that used oil. So I guess we still have bigger or smaller dependencies that we're trying to get rid of. But
yeah, and try to reuse it or recycle it better, because then you don't have to mine that much oil anymore to make it, let's say, plastic containers. If you still need it, try to recycle it a bit of it. Don't throw it on the ground. Recycle it and make it easy for consumers to recycle in a good way. Because I've heard from different sources that sometimes the plastics are useless that you collect, because it's a lot of different kind of plastics. You cannot melt them together and make a new plastic. So we need to take care of how we're going to do this recycling, and then mine a little bit less of oil and try to find these other resources. And the government needs to focus on renewable energy more than they do now. I believe firmly that you shouldn't think about new nuclear power plants. You think, because that's going to take a lot of time and it's not sustainable. Nuclear power is not sustainable at the moment. I mean, but you have to really think of ahead a little bit, not just in the short term. Because we still need the oil, but try to get other sources.
And the oil that gets separated from your products, can that just be used again as, I don't know, to drive on or to use in plastic products? Or, I mean,
we have a funny anecdote actually with. Yeah, I shouldn't mention the customer maybe, but they had used the device for many years, and they say practically you can refuel your car with the diesel that you take out. Because we've done some tests and it's a really, really low amount of diesel when we take out the diesel. So you can reuse it, but maybe not put it in the car directly. But you can re-refine it, and you can use it as, because we still burn oil, sadly enough, to get energy, but then it's a less water content, it doesn't take the amount of energy to burn it, so it's better. Now we have better burning plants in Sweden to take care of the gas, but anywho, so you can use it as a resource. And I know that a customer in northern part of Sweden had this surf bin for many years, and they collect all of the waste from other industries and they separate the oil and then they sell it.
So basically you can go around asking customers like, hey, don't worry, I take care of your waste, you know, pay me some money, and then you buy some surf cleaners, and then you have income sources from several parties, I guess. Yeah. You need a pool, you need some waste, you need a surf cleaner.
But don't go there, because it's difficult with oil. You have to be careful with protection. But basically you can use it as a resource. And I think that's a cool thing, instead of just wasting it or let it vaporize in the air. Because diesel and gasoline just goes really quick up in the air, in the atmosphere.
So I guess in case you don't take care of the diesel and gasoline that lies around in the water, it will vapor and be a problem for our global warming.
Yeah. And also it's really carcinogenic. This gas is really bad for you. So it might look that it disappears when it goes into the surface and then vaporizes after a couple of days, but it's still there in the atmosphere. So we want to make it easier for companies to take care of the waste, because sometimes it's maybe not that much amount of diesel in the water, but you should take care of it anyway to make it easier to do that. Instead of having these big, difficult machines, the small ones you can just put up and put in the where the spill has occurred, and then you can take care of it. Of course, you have to have lenses to around the machine to make it, the oil likes to disappear. You pour it out on the water surface, it will float up. But then you can just take care of it then, easier.
And what legislation do you think we are missing today and need to make this? Because it's, I mean, not every company has a surf cleaner or a similar product, and sounds like very many companies out there don't even take care of their pollutions, they just let it vaporize. I mean, shouldn't there be a legislation in place forbidding this, or is there something missing?
Yes, I believe it's not easy to make it good legislations, because we don't want to make it harder for companies to be angry at us for making more regulation, but we're going to make it easy to follow them. And other companies or countries have more legislations than we have in Sweden, for instance, because that's one of the reasons why we sold to Sonatrach in Sicily. It's a big refinery there. They had some local government saying you have to take care of the pollution, because when it vaporizes from the refinery, there's a lot of cancer cases in the local region. I think it was like 300% or something increased cancer in the area. And they said that, you have a year, you have to take care of your VOC emissions, otherwise we're going to close the refinery. This is like hard facts. But then, so they bought a surf cleaner, and now we reduce their VOC emissions from these bases that we have surf cleaner with 96%. So that's really cool. And they are really happy because they can reuse the diesel instead of just letting it vaporize every year. But then it was a local government taking the lead in that. So that's something I think we should try to get all around the world. And I feel in Argentina, for instance, we sold a steam mill. They have a big lagoon with all of their wastewater, and they said, we have to take care of this. So they bought two surf cleaners now, the big Berthas. they bought them, so it's going to help them take care of it. So I think it's important that we get the right registrations to the industries, so they understand that, they can take responsibility and they can earn money, but it's really difficult to set these rules right. So I believe that we do need it. We need to be a little bit more strict than we are.
And I guess it's only when, when you get the knife towards your throat that you maybe try to act a bit quicker.
And then
when it's a bit too soft, you maybe don't act as quick as you need to.
But that's something that we're working on now, to talk about consultants, because the consultants build maybe the factory, they help the factory to with solutions. And so it's really, I think the knowledge is key. You have to educate that, this solution exists now. So they know that, you can take responsibility faster, you can do it, and you can earn money for it, because the green solutions are fine, but you have to make sure that you can get some money back or make it profitable, because otherwise people's not going to do it. Unless they have to, like you say, with a knife on the throat. But it's really important with the education as well, because with registrations, it comes with responsibilities as well. You can't just say, you have to fix this and then get a penalty, but you also have to educate at the same time. There are solutions to take care of it. So we can achieve these rules that we have now.
And I mean, looking at surf cleaner now, and I hear the history, how you take it kind of from nothing and a few drawings to where you are today. It sounds very astonishing. But has there been any bumps on the road where you're like, I'm going to just lie on the floor and cry and give up now?
It has. With the corona for everybody else, it was like a dip. You stand there, it's like all the exhibitions, and we were ready to go, and it was like, we died down. So that was really difficult. But then we had some time to develop and growing our team. So that's something positive that came out of it. But one of the difficult things is that we have a lot of obstacles because nobody knows about us. They don't know about the invention, how it works, because it looks like a traditional skimmer, but it's not, and they don't understand the concept really, because it's a new technology. So that's been a struggle, but now we produce a lot of small units, so we're gonna get them out there so customers can try, because you need to, seeing is believing in this case. So that's an obstacle for us to get out, and that's also with wind power, or not wind power, but wave power, because there aren't that many solutions out there driving the case forward. It's the same with plastic machines in the ocean. Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for the pollution in the ocean? It's not clear yet, but because we need more companies to do that. But for surf cleaner, it's been a difficult thing that people need to know how it works. That's an obstacle. But I didn't want to lay down and cry. So we haven't had that kind of bump yet.
No, I guess that's what also takes you forward, that you never lay down. You just continue doing, right?
Yeah, you have to reboot for a while. and then you come back and think, don't get sad about it. And we were actually lucky when it comes to finance and stuff. We're really lucky when it comes to staff or the crew. So have these great people.
Yeah, and that's usually one of the biggest challenges for startups, how to grow your team and how to find the right people. How did you? I guess you were more than lucky. I guess there's some talents and tips also.
When I think about maybe it's quite easy to understand what we're doing, because we have a machine that collects rubbish from the water and clean the water, and it's really sustainable. So I think that people really look at those kind of companies, that they really want to achieve something. Because we had a talk around the room a couple of months ago, asking everyone, why did you start a surf cleaner? The most response that we got was that, we want to do something for real, to help the environment. And it's cool to say to our kids that we work with a company that wants to do good. So I think we're helped by the sustainability and clean environment thinking, for sure.
Mm, definitely. But I guess it must be a challenge, since you're not that super big of a company. People doesn't know you. So it may be not the first company you think of if you want to go out there look for a job, I guess.
No, then you need the help from friends and networks. And so we do a lot of networking. So I think it's important to help each other. If you maybe from another company hears that you need help, try to ask people around you. Do you have someone that you recommend? And we used our network from Sting, and we used our also, that help you to hire people?
Agencies. Recruitment agencies?
Yeah, because now people have really, when they join a recruitment agency, they have missions of what they want to achieve. They want to work with a company that want to develop, and they want to work with a company that has clean energy in their minds. And so, it's not easy. But we had some luck and help from friends, actually.
Cool, sounds very good. Well, I want to ask you, what would be your top advice or top tip to our listeners out there that wants to work more with innovation and startups and grow companies like you have done?
So many things I want to say, but I think the first one is that get support you need, because when you start a company, you're going to need a lot of friends and family to support you, just to believe in you, because it's a lot of bumps in the road. And join, if you can, we did, an incubator, because then you get the network and you're meeting people in the same situation as you do. And I joined Sting, and I meet these companies that alumni now, like we are, but you still have that connection, you still help each other, and I really like that. And the last thing, when it comes to finance, is difficult. But go with your gut feeling, because the first one, try to get people that understand your vision. It's really important to have your vision and your goal clear in your mind, and then someone that's the one to join that. So you get the right people from the beginning. Because if you have the choice, maybe not go for the venture capital right away, because they might have a different vision than you. But it's all about personal base. But try to find good investors that understand what you need to go through.
Cool. I think it's very good advice. We should definitely highlight those so people get boredom. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Christina, for joining the podcast. I think it was super interesting. And I'm also looking forward to doing episodes with Core Power Ocean and this super gearbox that I need to understand more about.
Sure.
And also looking forward to maybe have like a follow-up episode in a few years and see how you're doing. I'm really... Yeah, crossing my fingers that it goes good for you, because I think this company is a company we need in the world, definitely.
Thank you for that, and thank you for the podcast. It was really interesting and fun to be with you there.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what we're doing, remember to subscribe. And if you really like our podcast, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Remember, innovation is what makes the impossible possible, and it will all start with you.